This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
You have such an amazing story. So let's start from the beginning. I just want to go through a couple of rapid fire questions for the audience that we have. So first off, let's talk about your failure before your success. So you had amazing success and then you had tragedy strike. Let's talk about that for a minute. What was that like for you and what lessons did you learn?
Sure. Well, I wanted to be rich when I was little because I had a single mom who raised six kids on her own, packed our dinner in a paper bag between her two jobs. And so I wanted to be rich to buy her house instead of living in a two-bedroom apartment in the projects of Akron, Ohio. And 9 months out of law school, I was a millionaire. By the time I was 30, a multimillionaire married to my dream girl running the most notable sports agency in the world. So I not only had more money than I ever dreamed of, but I had access to what even billionaires couldn't afford. And all of that came crashing down as I lost everything in 2008, over $100 million. And for me, it was my basement had a basement. And the reason was it wasn't the money. I was always confident that I could make money. I'd made money 9 months out of law school. I'd continued to make money without asking anyone for help. What really scared me was my identity was tied to my bank account. And so even when I had over $100 million, my bank account went down $100 in a day. I was bummed out. If it went up $100, I was super excited. And so I had to transform my own perspective, a paradigm of not buying what I didn't need to impress people with I didn't even like. There was a huge energy gap between what I was and what I wanted people to think I was. Mm-hmm. And so actually when I lost everything, it gave me an opportunity to reset my own mindset of what I thought about myself, my own heart about how I felt about myself, and then continue the pragmatic handset of what I do and say every day with discipline. I always say I've always enjoyed the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential, but I really needed to shift my mindset and my heart set in order to align it with the effort that I put in. And sure enough, it turned out to be an incredible formula based off of my values and daily practices that have created an incredible amount of abundance, not living in a world of not enough, being a victim, not living in the world of just enough, buying things I don't need to impress people I don't like, but a world of more than enough, of more than enough of everything for everyone, a value add world, not a zero sum game that I had played for almost 35 years.
You know, and it's so important that, and you've hit on a few things, and a lot of times mindset has everything to do with entrepreneurism and the circles that people want to travel in. And one of the challenges I think people have is really making that paradigm switch and understanding that not everybody there is to be your cheerleader. And that is something I believe you just posted the other day. And you know, what happens is people are afraid of what other people are thinking. So in that perspective, what advice are you giving to somebody that they really recognize that they have to make the change, but they're afraid to make the change?
Yeah, I think fear in general is a lesson that I love to teach people. I make a practice identifying fear and then identifying what we prescribe to that fear. See, what happens is when we're afraid, we have human nature take its course. And within the context of human nature, is the ego. The ego is there to protect us against fear. And so one, if we practice identifying what we're afraid of and categorizing fear into two different categories, one is we're afraid of past, meaning something in our past. And whether you believe in one lifetime or millions of lifetimes, there's plenty to be afraid of our past. And we're also afraid of our future. And so when we understand, number one, identifying fear, and then two, whether this is a fear of the past or is it a fear of the future? Past usually manifests itself in resentment and guilt. Future, usually worry and anxiety. Then we can start seeing clues. How do we react to fears of the past? Clues, how do we react to fears of the future? Then we can also identify patterns. what are we creating? What needs are we creating to create interference between us and our potential when these clues are evoking the exact same patterns of maybe a need to be right or a need to be offended, need to be angry, upset, frustrated, guilty, resentful, separate, inferior, superior, worried, any of these interfering energy emotions. And so as we get into that practice of identifying fear of the past and future, seeing the patterns of how we react to fears of the past and future, we now can make better choices. Choices that are aligned with where we want to be or better, and choices that are aligned with finding the light, the love, and the lessons and the meaning of those mistakes, failures, setbacks, even successes, void shortages and obstacles of our past, like losing over $100 million, going bankrupt, or maybe it's just losing our business or not getting the business deal or a relationship that fails us. Whatever it may be, that fear can be created as clues. The patterns of how we react can then allow us to make better choices, which are aligned with where we want to be or better, promoting and protecting us with those decisions, with those mistakes, instead of punishing us.
So I know that you speak a lot also about gratitude. And I know that when we're making these, you know, mindset changes, and part of that is gratitude and looking at who our centers of influence are. Again, a lot of the audience that we speak with are entrepreneurs, and they are afraid and they are challenged. One of the problems that a lot of people, you know, will mention to me is how do they learn to elevate the people that they want to be around? So do you have any recommendations for when people are here and they want to go there? And sometimes it's about timing, right? You know, they don't want to misfire because the timing's not there. But when the timing is there, what recommendations do you give to somebody to help them elevate the people that they're surrounding themselves with?
I think it should be a priority for all entrepreneurs to consistently seek people that sit in the situation that you want to be in and ask them for help. You know, this is something that is incredibly powerful today that wasn't as powerful when I was young. When I was young, it was very difficult to access people that sat in the situation that we wanted to be in. To identify those people was near to impossible, as we were only accessible through Yellow Pages advertisements, a variety of pay phones, and maybe even calling cards. Now today, you know, I teach a lot of masterminds like the Battle Collective. And, you know, I asked them, you know, how long, 10 years ago even, would it take you to ask for help from 1,000 people? Or ask, do you know anyone that could help me? 1,000 people. And most of them, the shortest amount of time was at least a month. Today, the shortest amount of time was literally 1 minute. And the longest amount of time was 1 hour. and so understanding the size, scope, and scale of the audience, the accessibility and ease in which technology has created these communities, these neighborhoods of like frequency, has allowed us to ask that omnipresent and important question, do you know anyone that can help me? And not only do you have those 1,000 people, but they each have 1,000. So with a minute or an hour, you can ask for help from about 1 million people and then decide who best sits in the situation that you want to be in and ask them for directions. Because the fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's there already and ask them for directions.
I love it. And again, just for sake of time, final question. We know that you are all over social media, you travel, you do all of these different events. Is there any one story about one person that maybe you've met that has resonated with you?
Yeah, it was at the Super Bowl, and, you know, blessed to be there for over 25 years. But I was speaking with one of my mentors, the founder of GoDaddy, Bob Parsons, and he has a golf company now, and Bob's in his 70s and exited GoDaddy for over $4 billion personally. And so I found the person that sits in a situation that I want to be in, and I was asking him for help, and he said to me in his, you know, raspy 70 something year old voice, you know, Dave, if you love what you do, and well, if you learn to love what you do, and I roll my eyes on camera when he said it, because I was ready for the standard old man, you know, statement. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. But he blew my mind away with this answer. And I've been researching this answer ever since he gave it to me. He said, you know, Dave, if you learn to love what you do, it will tell you all its secrets. And if you do it long enough, it will tell you more of the secrets. And if you do it consistently, it will tell you all its secrets. And things like the Battle Collective that I got involved with you, Rhonda, and with Sean and Devin, it's a vehicle for all of us to find the cheat codes, the secrets, to live at ease, to clear the dis-ease from what we want or better in our lives, personally and professionally, to live our lives with passion, with purpose, and profitability. And that's why I'm so excited to be involved with the Battle Collective. That's why Bob Parsons, one little shift in an old statement, old piece of advice, has sent me down the rabbit hole to figure out how to get all secrets and cheat codes in life in order to live a fulfilled and enjoyable existence. And every time I'm with you, that's the way I feel. Passion and purpose and great enlightened ideas to be more profitable. And what a joy it is to share this time with you. And I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. Once again, everybody, we are talking to Dave Meltzer. Follow him. Inspiring messages. There's no lack of information as far as you being an entrepreneur needing a pathway. So again, thank you, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to working with you at our next Battle Collective.
Thank you.